We talked about in Matthew just about the kingdom of God and how he gives us the keys to the kingdom. And we had to define a few words, because to talk about an unsurrendered soul means that we have to understand the keys that God gave us to bind and to loose. Matthew 16, verse 19. He says, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind in heaven is bound on earth. Whatever you loose in heaven is loosed on earth. Now, if you're like me, many times I read over that and I thought, I don't get that. I don't understand that. Bound up and loosing, that doesn't sound pretty. You know, it doesn't sound like, it sounds messy to me, actually. And it can be, but what you have to understand is God's saying, I give you all authority. Red letter, Jesus is speaking. He says, I give all the authority to you. I give you the keys. Now use your keys. But the problem is many of us don't use our keys. Have you ever tried to unlock a door using the wrong key? It can wreck the lock. It can wreck the key. And now there's no way to open that door unless the one who created that door, the manufacturer, comes and does something. God says, I've given you some keys. Some of us have tried to use our own keys to open spiritual doors and we're wrecking the lock. Our keys won't work, and we need the manufacturer to show up once again and show us how to use these keys. So to bind was this. We simply said to bind means to undergird, to heal, to hold, to persuade, to keep steady, to cause fragmented pieces to come back into one whole, to put yourself under obligation to and to cling to. Those are very powerful adjective words, descriptive words, that when you bind something, it says we're taking all of the brokenness and we're going to bind it together in order to bring wholeness and healing. And so then the opposite is loose. What does it mean to loose? Well, it means to untie, to break up, to destroy, to dissolve, to melt, to put off, to crack, to sunder by separation of the parts, shatter into minute fragments, disrupt, lacerate, break forth, burst, tear. These are the words it's using. And these are very powerful words, aren't they? So he says in the Bible, what you bind in heaven is bound on earth. What you loose in heaven is loosed on earth. Some of us have things that are hanging on to us that we don't want to hang on to us, and we're asking Jesus to take it from us, but he's looking at us saying, yes, I can do it, and I've done it, but you need to take the keys and address it. Addictions that you face, mindsets, places and people you can't forgive, and I keep asking God to help me to forgive, but I just can't seem to do it, and it's as if God would say, oh, it's only because you haven't done it. You've got the keys. How do I do it, Lord? Bind it in heaven so it's bound on earth. Loose it in heaven so it's loose on earth. We're going to talk about that a little bit more as we progress through the message and through the series. That brought us to the unsurrendered soul of last week. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but I gave you the definition for bind and loose, and then the next little bullet was simply that our souls are very powerful. Our souls are very powerful. Did you know that? They're very powerful. That's why you do the things you do. You remember Paul in the Bible, the things I want to do, I don't find myself doing, and the things I don't do, I should be doing. He's got that. You know what he's struggling with? His soul. That's what's going on. He's a human being just like you and me, but he has to discipline himself for the purpose of godliness. So if Paul's going to have to do that, don't you think we're going to have to do that? What about the rest of you? Okay. So making sure you're with me. We got to understand that we have keys to address this. So the soul is very powerful. And did I share last week the two things that it has the power to do? It has the power to, you can write these down, to lead and to mislead. Our soul has the power to lead and to mislead. Last week I brought this up here just because I like scribbling. It's probably going to be messy and you won't be able to understand all of it, but just like there's a picture up there, you remember the center we said right there? Do you remember what that was? Spirit of God, right. So you got Spirit of God going. And then I said, what encompasses that? Soul. And then what encompasses that? Body. I think of two people in the Bible when I think about how powerful the soul is. It says, your soul is so powerful, it can lead you and it can mislead you. And I started thinking about a man named Paul in the Bible. Before he became Paul, he was Saul, right? Saul was born in an environment, and it was in an environment of persecution. The thing is he wasn't being persecuted. He was the persecutor. He was the one that was going after Christians. He grew up in a family living, he just had his human spirit within him. That's all he had. And because he learned in his family system there how you treat people, and this is what you do, and this is how you respect or don't respect authority. So then the body just did whatever the soul said to do. But then all of a sudden, Paul experienced a road to Damascus experience. Do you remember that? It says in the Bible that he's riding his donkey down the road. Jesus shows up, a bright light, bam, knocks him off his donkey. He gets knocked off, and Jesus says to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" He addresses him here in his spirit. Jesus addressed him right there. He didn't address him in bodily form and say, why are you wearing those clothes, and why do you got those jacked up sandals? He didn't say, you know, what's going on? He said, "I'm addressing your soul right now." And Paul was a person that was in an environment where he didn't experience a relationship with Christ, but he had a road to Damascus experience. And when Jesus addressed his soul, he said, "Follow me." And at that very point, bam, the Spirit of God filled his spirit. You with me? When the Spirit of God filled his spirit, then it started to transform who he was in his soul. When it transformed who he was in his soul, then his body transformed, because that's just a vehicle for what your soul wants to do. The soul is very powerful. And in this case, we see where the Spirit of God entered a man's life who was lost, got knocked off his donkey. By the way, maybe sometimes we need to get knocked off our donkey to learn the lesson that we need to learn. Have you ever had to learn anything the hard way? People would tell you, "Don't do that." But I want to. I mean, I remember my daughter when she discovered what the stove is. You know, kids, when they do that, we, you know, have it hot. See, this hot. You get her hand even close to it just to feel the heat radiate. Hot, don't touch. What did she do? She touched the stove. What happened when she touched the stove? Her flesh burned. She screamed. My ears were being pierced. You know, the high-pitched screaming. And she had to learn the hard way. She didn't just want to listen to her mom or dad say, "Don't touch, it's hot." She wanted to find out for herself. Sometimes our soul, right here, can be so stubborn that we have to figure it out for ourselves, right? It's a soul issue. But the soul's very powerful and can mislead you as well. Think of a man named Judas in the Bible. When I throw Judas out, what's the first thing you think of? Betrayal. It's always the first one that comes up, betrayal. Other people say 30 pieces of silver. Another thing that I always hear often when I say Judas, they say, "Oh yeah, Judas's kiss when he, you know, that's part of the betrayal. He kissed him." He said, "The man that I kiss, he's the one that's Jesus." But what we miss out on is simply this. Did you know that he was a disciple of Jesus Christ? Yeah. When we think of Judas, usually we're going, "Yeah, he's a loser. He betrayed Jesus and hung himself." But he was a disciple. That means he walked with Jesus, he talked with Jesus, he had relationship with Jesus. And yet, even in the midst of his relationship with Jesus, he betrayed him. Why? Because he had the Spirit of God right here. He was filling his life. But his soul wanted what his soul wanted. See, your soul wants what your soul wants. And so, though he had Jesus in his heart, his soul said, "Betray him. More money. Get the money. Get the money." And that's what he did. Which this tells me simply this. If you're here today and you've been walking with the Lord for 10 years, it is possible to have the Spirit of God here, but an unsurrendered soul. You see, Judas didn't want to surrender his soul. He wanted his cake and eat it too. And that's what a lot of us want. We want to be able to have all of it. Give me God, give me the good, but don't give me any consequences. You know, I don't want to have to do any of that stuff. Judas loved Jesus, was filled, walked with him, talked with him, but his soul was unsurrendered. So how do we do this? How do we surrender our soul? How do we get to know what is most important? Because if you get the Spirit of God filling you, it will transform your soul if you let it. Because when God speaks, it's not is God speaking, it's are we listening? Because sometimes we turn up the noise of the world so loud so that we don't have to hear what God's saying. You know what I mean? God says, you know, "Don't watch that movie." So you click the volume up 3 more times. But, "I'm sorry, I can't hear you." Don't go to that place. Don't drink that. Don't smoke that. Don't kiss them. Don't, whatever it is. But we turn up the noise of the world because we don't want to hear what God's saying. That shows you somebody that has a soul that's unsurrendered. Because then in bodily form, you'll see what happens. If your soul is unsurrendered and you do what you want to do and you want to drink a lot, okay, you're going to do that. But there's going to be a consequence that comes eventually. DUI, car accident, death, who knows? See, it's important to surrender our soul. Now, I'm using that as an example, but this goes with down to the very minute level. Thoughts that we have. Gossip. These things, when they get into our soul, we can either feed them or we can starve them. The choice is ours. You guys doing okay so far? Okay, it's awful quiet, so. All right. Our soul's very powerful. It can lead us and it can mislead us, and the choice is ours. Now, we're getting ready to dig a little bit deeper, because if you're here today and you're a Christian and you're new in your walk with Jesus Christ, the Word of God says that milk is for new believers, right? So he brings milk. But today, the question is, where's the beef, okay? Remember that commercial, Wendy's? Where's the beef? Today, we want to get just a little bit deeper and dig into the Word of God, which means we're going to be stretched. Are you ready? Six people are ready. The rest of them are going, I'm going to a different church. He's going to stretch us, but he's going to fill us with his Spirit. The Word of God says he is a child, when a baby's born, 2 days after being born, we're not going to give them T-bone steak and eggs and a milkshake. They don't have any teeth. They can't chew. Their system's not ready to process that. But us that are older and are more mature, if I can say it that way, in our walk with the Lord, there's a responsibility that you and I have. And the responsibility is to be responsible and not just pretend like we don't have any of these issues. We all have a soul. That's our mind, will, our emotions. And whether it's healthy or unhealthy is determined by what you choose. Do you listen to the Spirit of God or do you listen to the Spirit of man? It's going to be our choice, and it's how it boils down. So, because we all have a soul, and we all know it very well, and we do know our soul very well, I'm not saying that we understand it all. I'm not saying that we've got it all figured out. I'm just saying that we have a soul, and we know that we have a soul. We've learned to cohabitate with it. And if you try to feed anything but the Word of God, you're not going to get great results. So, God says, Jesus said, I've given you keys. Keys to the kingdom. Matthew 16, verse 19. And this is where the binding and the loosing comes in. You know, earlier, I was just thinking, I really just felt the Lord, both services, share Matthew 10 earlier when I shared with you. Those who are weary, heavy laden, he said, come to me and I will give you rest. He's talking about your soul. Come to me. Why are you carrying all that stuff around? Why do you keep fighting over that? Why do you keep feeding that? Would you just come and give that to me? See, that's going to be a soul issue. There's going to come a time, if you'll learn this, you will actually be able to stop walking around looking like you have a sour stomach. You'll be able to walk free and not look anymore like you've been drinking pickle juice all day long, you know, because you're all bitter. You know, you don't have to pretend like you're happy when you're really not. You ever try to do that? You know, you try to put on a front, like you want everyone to know, everything's okay, I'm doing great. But usually the way it looks is it's that messed up face because you're like, yeah, you're trying to smile down here, but your eyes and your face is saying, we're not doing good. We're not doing good. You know, maybe you've read and reread your Bible until your eyes started to cross, and you still don't feel any release or relief. Maybe you've tried to do what God's Word says, and it doesn't work. That can be really frustrating, can't it? You know what it's like when you cry out and you say, God, your Word says, and here I'm praying, but I'm not seeing any answers that are coming forth. Here's the problem. Your thoughts weren't automatically cleaned up and renewed at the point of your salvation. Your emotions, they weren't automatically renewed or healed or refined at that time either. Your stubborn, self-oriented will dug in and is determined to fight every step of the way. It's kind of like when somebody tries to move and you go, I'm not moving. Do you know anybody that's stubborn? Yeah? Have you ever been stubborn? If someone were going, no. You're not going to change my mind. We can be stubborn at times, can't we? Our wills will dig in, our souls will go, I'm not moving on this. No. If anyone's changing, it's you guys. I'm not going to change. And we dig in because why? Because our soul wants what our soul wants. And so we'll fight to the death just to win an argument, but we lose our family. We will fight to the end to say, I deserve that raise, even though you lost your job, but I made my point. Our soul wants what it wants. And it can mislead you, and it can lead you to a healthier place. Being born again in your spirit, by the way, doesn't mean that you're fully or even partially surrendered to Jesus. Remember, you can be filled with Jesus. I'm sure Judas, he had the Spirit of God inside of him, but then he had an unsurrendered soul right there. And he made some decisions based upon that. Here's the inside information on what's been trying to get in the way of everything that you've been doing to try to overcome and be a better Christian. Your unsurrendered soul has quite an elaborate plan that's set up. Did you know that? Your soul has quite an elaborate plan that's set up so that it will get what it wants, and it will get you to do things so that it feels good. If it feels good, do it. You remember that phrase? You remember that saying? There's your soul talking. As a matter of fact, one of the ways that we overcome and grow in our walk is by praying binding and loosing prayers. I think in your outline or in your bulletin there was a, yeah, there it is. There's a copy. We're going to get to this in just a minute. So get it handy. We're going to do this in a moment, because this is our keys. It's the word of God about binding and loosing. And the difference between effective prayer that brings God's help into a situation and ineffective prayer that does not get answered or is simple is right effective prayer is all about the motives of your prayer. It's about your attitudes about your problem. When you come to God and you say, Lord, your word says that you're going to fix this. Now fix this because I need it fixed now. Versus, Lord, I'm opening my heart before you. Not my will, but yours be done. Different, isn't it? You know, when your kid comes and says that they want something, and they approach you, and they say, give me $20. Or they come and say, can I have $20? Which one are you prone to respond to better? It would be the latter one, right? God says, when you come before me, and you bring your body, your soul, your spirit, you lay that open before me, and give God permission to intervene, you're going to find out that he wants there to be a great life inside each and every one of us. In your outlines, I think it says unsurrendered soul is this: the state of your soul when it is panicked, fearful, doubting, worrying, and full of negative anticipation. This is what an unsurrendered soul is. It's the state of your soul when it's panicking. You're afraid and you're doubting and you're not trusting that God can come through and God's not going to make it. So your soul will say, I got this, I'll jump in. And you let it, instead of letting the Spirit of God be the answer. You see, why do we do that? Why is it when we get so frustrated, I need a job change, I need money, I got a family situation, things are happening with my kids that I don't quite know what to do. We will do anything because we love our children, but we also will do anything because we want to fix it. And sometimes God says, would you just surrender it to me? Would you just lay that open before me and let me speak into that? You see, the reasons our souls kick up is because of three things. It's called the committee. Let me introduce you to the committee, okay? This is what's going on in an unsurrendered soul. I think it's in your outlines, the three things. You can write these down. Number one is unrenewed mind. That's the first member of this committee. The second is unsurrendered will. And the third member of this committee is unhealed emotions. This is what an unsurrendered soul contains. It contains an unrenewed mind, which means you're relying on what you can think of. You're relying on your thoughts. You're relying on what you can create and come up with. The other arena of an unsurrendered soul is unsurrendered will. You're not willing to go when God says go. You dig your feet in. You say, I am not going to do that. I am not going to go there. And the third member is unhealed emotions. In your unhealed emotions, it's where you get to a state where you let what you feel dictate who you are, instead of realizing you've been made in the image of Jesus Christ. Remember Genesis 1:27 says that he created man in God's image. He is a spiritual being, so you and I, we are spiritual beings. So this is the committee. And when something comes up in your life, you know, it happens to me. Sometimes I have difficult situations. Anyone here, you probably don't have problems or arguments or difficult days or anything like that. But when I do, one of the first things that happens is this committee jumps up and it has a meeting and it goes off into a secret place. And it huddles, and it says, here's what we're going to do. And it starts to tell the body what's going to happen based on what it feels. We're not going to tell them the truth, because if we tell them the truth, they're going to know that we lie, because obviously that's the opposite of it. We don't want them to think we're liars, so let's lie about the fact that we lied. Let's protect ourselves, and we'll do that. This committee jumps up, and this committee, when you're in a place where God's calling you to surrender, what happens is this. This committee will jump up, and it will start to say things like this. Wait for God's will. Why would we do that? Why do we need to wait on God? The committee, the unsurrendered part of your soul, will say things like this. We don't have time for that. Here's a shortcut. Here's the easier way. This committee will pop up and say, here's what you need, and we need it now. Why? Because the soul wants, making sure I got that worked into your thought process here. Your soul wants what your soul wants. Don't listen to the committee, though. Part of transitioning to have a surrendered soul, as we'll find out later, is being willing to say no to the committee. Now, you might be saying, well, you just told me to say no to my mind, will, and emotions. No, I told you to say no to your unrenewed mind, your unsurrendered will, and your unhealed emotions. Because here's what happens. Your unrenewed mind, it considers all the new information, kind of downloads everything. Everything that comes your way, it processes, draws conclusions, maps out a plan, and says, this is what we believe based on what we've gathered. And it's, you'll make decisions. Your unrenewed mind is your master schemer, let's call it, okay? It's your master schemer, scheming all the time. You know what I mean? Deceptive, manipulative, doing things to make everything work out the best for me. That's what unrenewed mind is doing, taking in all those thoughts. You listen to people and you're taking it in and processing that. The second part, the unsurrendered will, what this is it provides the boldness or the drive, if you will, to take that which you think and put it into action. It gives you the will. It gives you the drive. Let's call it the enforcer, okay? The unsurrendered will is the enforcer. It enforces what you've been thinking in your unrenewed mind. And then your unhealed emotions, they've been negatively impacting almost everything that you do, almost everything that you say. They can end up spooking and chasing your thoughts and your choices around like a room full of wild cats running around the room. You get emotional, and you learn to live out of your emotions rather than living out of the Spirit of God. Now, this is where he says that we're to live life, the Spirit of God. So, basically, Pastor Jim, you've told me my mind, will, and emotions are really horrible right now, right? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying your unsurrendered soul will go here. This is the kind of the sin nature that we're born into. The goal is to get God's Spirit so it can start to transform us, to be surrendered. John 3:30, I think. Less of me and more of him. Remember that? That's the process right there. So I'm not downplaying anything about the body, soul, or spirit, or your mind, will, and emotions. The goal is getting from unhealthy to healthy. Okay? From unhealthy, some of you, there's colds that are going around here like crazy, isn't there? Influenza, all the sicknesses. What's the goal when somebody gets sick? To get healthy. We don't want to stay living with all this, you know, going on. But yet spiritually, we're content to do that. And God says, no, I want you to surrender that to me so I can bring some health back into your life. So how do you know if you're really waiting on him or if you're just stuck and don't know what to do? Here's what you do. You keep binding your mind to the mind of Christ. You keep binding your will to his will. God will reveal to you whether you're being patient and trusting or whether you're just procrastinating. God will reveal that to you. Unless you turn off the signal and turn up the volume of the world. You know, the world's got a way of distracting us, doesn't it? It can always find a way to distract us. God says, if you want a healthy soul, then you have to come to a place of being willing to surrender to his greatness. I think of in the Bible, 2 Kings. If you want to turn there, go ahead. 2 Kings chapter 19. I want to read to you just a portion about a man named King Hezekiah. When I first read this, you know, I don't know when I first read it, but it's about a king who was leading the land of Judah, and there was a king of Assyria that was coming against him. This king had defeated many other people, and he basically said, Hezekiah, you're next. I'm coming after you. And so he sent somebody ahead to tell Hezekiah, tell him, I'm showing up and I'm taking him out. You better get ready. Well, Hezekiah, I don't know about you, but have you ever gotten one of those letters? Somebody's mad at you and they're going to come give you a piece of their mind? Or you get that bill in the mail and it says, you owe this money. If you don't pay it, we're going to the creditors. That's a threatening letter. What happens in those moments? The committee jumps up. Meeting time, come on, let's get together. And this sits down and schemes and plans how we can fix this and make it look okay. And it's in those moments where it's going to be the hardest to surrender to God, but that's exactly what God is calling us to do. Surrender that. 2 Kings chapter 19. This king got word that somebody was coming, and I'm going to jump all around chapter 19, so I'll tell you where I'm at. But chapter 19, verse 10. Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah. He's saying, here's the letter. The king of Judah, do not let your God whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the king of Assyria has done to all the lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? He's mocking them right now. He's saying, listen, don't think that your God can get you out of this jam. He said, I've beaten everybody before, and I'll beat you too. I'm coming after you, so you better watch out. King Hezekiah gets this letter, and in verse 14, here's what he does. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messenger and read it, and Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Let me just pause there for a moment. What just happened? Many times I read over this portion of Scripture, and I was like, okay, you know, moving on. This was a soul thing that was going on right here. Hezekiah was facing a situation where I'm sure the committee jumped up and said, oh man, what are we going to go count the camels, go count the donkeys, get every man available, find things, sharpen them, hurry up and let's see what we've got. Let's see what kind of strength we have within ourselves. But that's not the first thing he did. The very first thing he did was he went up in the presence of the Lord and he laid out before the Lord what man is saying. And ultimately he says, what do you say? Let me ask you a question. When you're facing difficult situations, when you're facing anything, do you lay it out before the Lord? Let me ask it this way. Do you lay it out before the Lord first? Because many of us say, yeah, I lay it out before the Lord. After I checked with the bank and my mom and my dad and my neighbor and my barber, then I'm like, what about you, God? No, Hezekiah first went up, laid that before the Lord, and basically what he was saying was this. I have the Spirit of God. I am a spiritual being. Say it with me. I am a spiritual being. And he surrendered that part of his soul, the committee that likes to meet and likes to scheme and enforce and manipulate. And he said, no, you're not calling the shots. Your soul has been calling the shots for years. Your soul has been telling you what to do because your soul wants. But now you have the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, the committee will jump up and say, oh, everyone, let's get together. And you, through the Spirit of God, have to say, no, sit back down. You're not invited to this meeting. You're going to do what we say, what God tells us to do. And body, you just hang out there because you're just going to do whatever the soul says. So let me tell the soul what it's going to do, and you just hang loose. Okay? He laid that before the Lord. Are you going through a difficult time today? Do you have some bills that you can't pay? Are you going through marriage difficulties? Are you having problems with your kids? Whatever it is, lay it out before the Lord and ask him what he thinks. I was doing my devotions this last week, and I forgot where it's at. It's in the Bible. It's in the neighborhood of Moses. So somewhere in the Old Testament, Numbers. I think we're in Numbers. Anyway, you don't care about that. Here's what happened. They were getting ready for the Passover, and the rituals of taking the Passover, you had to meet certain requirements, and one of those was you could not be unclean. You could not have been sexually involved for a period of time because that would be unclean. You could not have touched any dead animal or dead person or be around dead things. Otherwise, you'd be unclean, not worthy to take the Passover. And it says that they were getting ready for the Passover, and two men, I think, came up to the Lord and said, Lord, we were gone, and we were by a dead corpse. Maybe it was a funeral or whatever, but they basically said, can we still partake of the Passover? And you know what Moses, the first thing he did? He said, let me check. Father, what do you have to say? Father God answered him. He went back to him and he said, we're good. What did he do? He checked with God first. Let me ask you, do you do that first? Do you take it to the Lord? I can't tell you, these last few weeks, I just got to tell you this. This soul series, I think it's challenging people and stretching them. I think some of us are uncomfortable and we feel like we got a charcoal, piece of hot charcoal in our britches or something because we're moving around doing this stuff and feel a little uncomfortable. But hang tight. He's only revealing something to you that he wants you to see so you can become healed, whole, full of the Holy Spirit. You can get to that next season. But this series I've been going through, the Lord's just been putting songs on my heart. Can I tell you one of the greatest weapons of warfare that you have is worship? Do you know that? I'm driving down the road. I think I passed a few of you. I was singing. You probably didn't know it, and you definitely wouldn't have wanted to hear it. But I know my voice sounds awesome to the Lord. And that's all that matters. And once I was fine with that, then when I sing in the house and my family hears me, I don't really worry about what they think. I want them to see somebody that worships. Your best weapon is worship. And the Lord's just been depositing these songs on my heart. And when you pray these binding and loosing prayers, you're going to see things move. You're going to see things change. Move over, bacon. Now there's something meatier coming, okay? God is doing something fresh and new spiritually that he's going to give you that will fill you. And it won't just be something that just pacifies for a short period of time. It's going to be something that will sustain for a lifetime when you receive his spirit, the surrendering of your soul. So we must go to God. Sometimes God tells us to wait, doesn't he? Don't you love that word, wait? Nobody likes that. Sometimes God will tell us to wait. And waiting doesn't mean just chewing your nails and being worrying and stressing over things. If God has not answered you and said yes, and if God has not said no, then he's saying wait, but in the midst of that wait, do something. Do something. Worship me. Get into my word. Gain some more knowledge. Educate yourself so that when the answer does come, you're ready to go. You're not going to be behind. See, God is preparing your heart. He has the answer to every prayer that you have, every request that you make. Sometimes you don't like his answer, but he has one. And it's always meant for our good. And he will give it to you when you surrender to him. But the hard part is when that committee jumps up, boy, you're going to have to tell him this. Sit down. Sit down. Somebody's going to come in and say, yeah, I've been making these choices, and you may not be happy with your kids, and you want to respond out of anger first. You know what I'm talking about? What are you thinking? You know, when you want to do one of those? But that's the committee. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be angry. I'm saying that you say, Father, before I kill this child, what do you say? You always seek first the Lord in all things. We need to come to a place where we let that be something where we cleanse. These binding and loosing prayers is a way that we can cleanse our souls. And we're going to pray it in just a moment. I'm going to challenge you, give you a challenge at the end here. What it does is when you pray these prayers of binding and loosing, it binds your will to his will, your spirit to his spirit. And the things that you loose, you can loose all those wrong things, patterns of thinking, addictions. You can loose those. And what you do in the spiritual place will then happen in the natural physical realm. Why? Because you're addressing it spiritually and binding it to God. It's cleaning you. You know, this morning, there's nothing wrong with doing this every day. When you got up this morning, how many of you brushed your teeth? Uh-oh, some of you need mints or something. So. I'm just messing with you. Now, for the most part, don't raise your hand, but for the most part, every day, we shower, correct? Take a bath, get in a jacuzzi hot tub or something. Why do we do that? Well, we do it to blow the stink off, right? Your hair gets greasy. Your hair gets oily. You get, you know, a little fungus growing under there. You little funkiness going all over town. You get into the shower so that you can cleanse off what you've picked up throughout that day and be clean once again. So it is when you pray binding and loosing prayers. What you are doing is agreeing with God's will for your life that can cleanse your soul. Why not go to him every day? Why not go there and say, Lord, I'm binding my mind to your mind today because I don't know who I'm going to have to deal with, but you do. Give me your mind. Lord, I'm binding my will to your will today because it's not about me, and if we complete my will, we're not going to do anything but sit on the couch. So, Lord, I'm surrendering to your will. Lord, I bind my emotions to your emotions so I'm not just some big drama king or drama queen. I'm going to surrender that to you. You pray that prayer, and bam, that Lord's going to show up. He's going to be, now you're ready. And he's going to reveal those things. See, you don't give keys to kids who aren't ready to drive a car, right? But yet he says, I give you the keys. He's right. You got this. The question is, are you going to do it? The reason you won't is because of that darn committee. It keeps popping up saying, don't do that because things will change. Don't do that because then if I change, then they'll have to change, and then they'll have to change, and then I don't know who we are anymore. And we get concerned and we get worried. You see, we've got to be very careful. I love how the message puts this. We're going to close. We're doing pretty good. We're going to close with this. In the message translation, you remember the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay. the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And before he teaches them and tells them what to say, do you know what he does? He prepares their hearts on the soul level so that they can experience him on a spiritual one. Okay? What they said was this. Let me read it to you. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And I'm reading from the Message translation. And it says, the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can very simply pray. Boom, and then he goes into teaching them how to pray. He addresses them on a soul level and says, listen, there's a lot of people out there that are saved. Paul, he became saved. He did not have Christ at the center, got knocked off his donkey, and all of a sudden he's saved and his soul's transformed. You got Judas, who was walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus. He was saved in his spirit, but he had an unsurrendered soul. You can be here today and have been a part of this church since before I was even born. And you say, I've been a Christian a long time. Yes, but is your soul surrendered to Christ? See, that's the goal. If you really want to experience freedom and victory here on this earth, so it's about surrender. Well, I'm not going to surrender to anybody. My dad taught me to fight. Okay, we're not talking about people here. We're talking about spiritually. We have to come to a place of learning what it means to bind and loose. Go ahead and take out that little cardboard thing. And we're gonna do this together, okay? Don't get hung up on how, some people get stuck on just reading a prayer. That's not really effective because it's not really a prayer if I have to read it. No, it can be. Sometimes I need that. Sometimes I'm struggling so much, I can't even think. Have you ever prayed and you're like, Lord, I'm just so sorry that you just don't have the words. So sometimes I have to grab things like this. And I want us to pray this together. We're going to pray it out loud. And you're going to see how simple it is. And when you pray this, believing in your heart, things are going to move. So let's read this together. Ready? Go. Jesus, I want to do what you would do if you walked in my shoes today. I'm still working with an unsurrendered soul, and I know how much I need your help. I bind my will to your will, Father. I want to track right with you. I bind my mind to your mind, Jesus. I want to hear your voice today as I run into difficult situations. I bind my emotions to your healing comfort and balance, Holy Spirit. I'm so tired of the emotional reactions and distractions they throw up in my life. I loose, crush, smash, and destroy those distractions and reactions right now. I loose wrong patterns of thinking and old attitudes that keep trying to crawl up into my consciousness. And I loose the works of the enemy from myself as I go through this day. Help me to be more patient and act more like you would in whatever delay, angry look, or hard word I run into today. Let me influence those around me with examples of your peace and your love. Amen. Here's my challenge to you. This week, I want you to take this out and pray the prayer every day. Just for this week. I'm not asking you to do it for the rest of your life, just this week. But I'll tell you what, if you get a hold of the keys and find out what a sweet ride God's given you, you're not going to give the keys back.